It is good to be here this morning as we're here to study the Word of God, and He's been good to us. It's been warm, it's summertime, and be careful. Don't overheat, because that can happen real easy. Enjoy the song service and scripture reading and prayers. Should help us get in the right attitude to worship God in spirit and in truth. The title for this morning's sermon is Christ the Friend of Man. A lot of people think that Christ is their enemy. He is not our enemy. Christ is our friend. In John chapter 15, the Gospel according to John, John chapter 15, and look at verse 13, and we'll read verse 14. Christ, the friend of man. We may not have a lot of friends, and usually if you stand for the truth, you won't have a lot of friends, but you'll have a friend indeed. It's Christ. He'll always be our friend. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Okay? Now, as we look at these two verses here, true friendship and love are best manifested by what a man is willing to do on behalf of the ones whom he professes to love. So in other words, love is made known through action. And anybody can say that I love you. That's easy to say. You turn on the TV and it's love, love, love. And yes, we are to love, but love is made known through action. And of course, the word love, it can just be taught. But as we look at this, John chapter 15 and 13, as talk about Christ, he will be willing, and even if we really love, we will be willing even to give up our lives for our friends. Okay? If necessary, we should be willing to give up our lives for our friends. Jesus was soon to do that very thing. He was going to give up his life for not only for people who loved him, he was going to give up his life for people who didn't love him. Isn't that wonderful? And Jesus was trying to get his disciples to prepare their minds for the separation, because he knew he was going to die. He knew he was going to be buried, and he knew that he was going to be risen from the grave. And he was trying to get the disciples to prepare their minds for the separation, for his death. And that can be tough. Getting our minds prepared for someone that we love, and that can be a challenge. But in John chapter 15 and 14, Jesus teaches obedience to him is the test of friendship. Obedience to him is the test of friendship. The friends of Jesus are those who constantly obey him. Now, even though there's times that we're going to make mistakes, but when our hearts and our minds are bent towards serving God, you know, we're bent towards serving God, and we constantly obey him because we love him. Our love is made known through obedience. Jesus showed his friendship by dying for us, for everybody, on the cross. He didn't have to, but he did. He obeyed his Father. His followers showed their friendship by Jesus, by obeying him. That's how we're able to show that we love him, by obeying him. John chapter 15 and verse 14. But it's very interesting to know that a friend knows and loves you in spite of your faults. That's a true friend. He knows you. He loves you in spite of your faults. Then look at all the faults that Christians, we all have, and how Jesus still loves us unconditionally. We all have faults. And he is a what a friend we have in Jesus. The song that I led during the Bible study. What a friend we have in Jesus, who loves me even regardless of my faults. He loves you regardless of your faults. Christ wants to be our friend. Now, there are people that you meet and they say, I don't have any friends. That's pretty much hard to believe. Surely we got one or two friends. But I don't have any friends. But I tell you what, if you're a member of the church, you have a friend, Jesus. And if you're a member of the church, you got friends. he's saying that. He's thinking that way, but he's got friends. If you're a member of the church, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We should be friends towards one another. We need to love we're talking about love and how we should love the brotherhood. He willingly laid down his life for us, for you, and for me. In John chapter 15, 13, again, he says this. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. That's a friend. In John chapter 10 and verse 15, let's look at John chapter 10 now and verse 15. We're going to be moving and reading some scriptures here. John chapter 10. Jesus says, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. If you go back there to verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. Okay, now to know one another, we will have to spend time with each other. That's how you get to know people. We spend time with each other. And for people to don't assemble, they're not even spending that time. That would be another X on him, who I don't have to assemble. I don't have to come to church on the first day of the week. Well, for us to get to know one another, we need to spend time with one another. The good shepherd has an intimate knowledge of the sheep. He knows those sheep. And his own know him. See, he knows the sheep. And once again, you can't know people if you don't spend time with them. It's amazing to me how at work, you get to know people. You really get to know them. When you work with them and you spend time with them at work, you can know them. You can know who is patient. You can know who is not patient. When things come up, you can pick up on people who are negative. This new internet class that we gotta learn it. It's a lot of steps. I thought we had some steps on this one. We have more steps on this one to come. And one of the instructors that's gonna be happy, we already done had a class on it. And the teacher, she did her job, but when you go through those steps, it don't work. So what she's doing, she's emailing the people who got this going or whatever, said, I'm doing what you say do, it's not working. Well, it's not the teacher's fault. But here's what I want to say this. When anything is, they introduce it new, and this is a teacher that's coming out of Louisville somewhere, and then we've got some who went to school that works for the branch, and I kind of rebuked a little bit. I said, you don't need to be negative about this. A teacher is going to teach. You can't be negative. Do you think about that? Here I am, a preacher of the gospel, and every time I get in the pulpit, I'm just negative. You can't be that way. If you are a teacher and you're just negative, and I told the instructor that's going to do that for us in the branch, I said, man, you need to get up off of that negative. I said, we need at least let's think positive. You got to know people. I had an old preacher one time to tell me when I first got started preaching, he said, you need to know people. And that's true. And you know people when you work with them. You can see the people who are impatient. You can see people who are patient. And I'm there to help people, even what little knowledge I have of the Word of God. I just told the guys, I said, look, we just going to have to let our patience kick in. And one of the guys who was in class and took a little break, he said, I'm physically getting sick in my stomach. That's what he said. He said, we won't be able to do our job. I said, well, let's just take one day at a time. See, what I preach here, I can take it out there to help people. Because if you get sick at your stomach, that's worry. And I've been there before years ago. And I try to stay out of that worry. But that's what he told me. He said, I'm physically getting sick at my stomach. But that's how we get to know people, by spending time. And if I hadn't, been in the class with him and working with him, and not only him but others, you can't know people if you don't spend time together. That's husband and wives don't even know each other because they don't spend time with each other. They don't even know each other. And I was very encouraged the other day. I was doing my delivering my parts, and there was this old man and old woman in there, had a round flower garden, and they were about 11 o'clock, and they were both out there working in that flower garden. I thought that was wonderful. And when we get old, we need to do things together. We need to share things together, because when you retire, all you're going to do is just, you're going to be there with that person. And it can be a good thing, don't get me wrong. It can be a good thing, but we got to know each other. No other sacrifice would do. Jesus laid down his life for his friends. And he shed his blood for you and me. In Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews 9 and verse 22. The Hebrew writer tells us, and according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. Underscore almost. I don't know if you caught that or not. According to the law, the old law that is, almost all things are purified with blood. One of the things we need to take note that you take a person who were, those who were poor and they really didn't have an animal or goat or whatever that was required for blood, they would have, the poor would bring a 2 turtle doves. You remember in the Old Testament, they would bring 2 turtle doves or 2 pigeons for a sin offering. Now, I'm not going to turn over and read that, but you can find that in Leviticus 5, 11 through 13, and Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11. So there would be a 2 turtle doves or a 2 pigeons. And let me say this too about the blood of animals. What it did, it rolled man's sins forward, but it did not take away man's sins. But now we are under the new covenant, and Christ died on the cross for you and I. And when we sin and repent of the sin, it takes it away. Isn't that wonderful? In Hebrews chapter 10, and let's look at verse 4. Hebrews chapter 10. And the verse is 4. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. And what, like I said a few minutes ago, it would roll man's sins forward. But it did not take away man's sins. All right? We are sanctified by his offering. If you look at Hebrews 10 and 10, by that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus once for all. We're set apart, sanctified. When you hear people talking about being sanctified and they don't look up the word, and denominational people said he's sanctified, they think that when you go to church, you just jump up and down and you shout and he's sanctified. Shake, rattle, and roll. And I told a lady, one guy came back years ago to service. He said, man, y'all just don't serve. Y'all just don't praise the Lord, he called it. Y'all just don't praise the Lord. I said, what do you mean by that? You know, y'all quiet. I said, yeah, we come to church to learn. And how can you learn? And I know where he was coming from. How can you learn when everybody's in here got emotions going? I said, that's not God's way. And then he began to tell me, he said he wanted the baptism of fire. I said, if you stay where you at, you're going to get the baptism of fire. I said, the baptism of fire, man, is the lake of fire for eternity. That's the baptism of fire. He said he had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he said. But he said he wanted the fire. I said, you stay where you at, you'll get it. I shouldn't laugh about that. It ain't even funny. But I said, you stay where you at, you'll get it. We are sanctified by his offering, the blood of Christ. He was raised for us. Now, you might just put a something in, probably come back to Hebrews. But look at Romans 4:25. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25. I know we're turning to several of these scriptures, but it's good to read these scriptures. In Romans chapter 4, and the verse is 25, talking about Christ, who was delivered up because of our offenses. See, that shows that, you see, men were saved by the blood of Christ. The blood is very important. who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. He made it possible. And see, how we meet the blood is in the water. Baptism is essential to salvation. The blood is in the water. And if one is not baptized and he don't meet the blood of Christ, he cannot be saved. See, the blood is for the cleansing. The water is for the washing. And I'm not going to turn over to Romans 6, but it talks about all of that. And yet men, day by day, saying that I don't have to be baptized. Well, how are you going to meet the blood of Christ? It's in the water. And like I explained to people, you know, you got a washing machine. And you can put your clothes in the washing machine. And you can pour Tide or whatever detergent that you have. And you can let those clothes set for 24 hours or whatever. Your clothes are not going to get clean. You need some water. See, the water is for the washing. The blood is for the cleansing. I know what you're saying is right. I know that's what it says, you know. And then you got people on television, they saying that you already saved before baptism. That is not true. That's just not true. One is not saved after baptism. I said, if you fellas, what you all are doing, you are baptizing people, they already saved, you baptize and save folk. They're not saved. He knows our temptations and intercedes for us. If you look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, driving, preaching about like driving, sometimes you got to slow down. And you know, to preach, you got to get behind the wheel. And you see, this morning, I'm kind of slowing down and taking my time so I can make sure I get the right scriptures here. But in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Weaknesses. Just look at that part, weaknesses. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. Our weaknesses, it also has reference to pain that we go through. Bodily pain. Jesus went through pain. Jesus went through suffering. He understands our weaknesses. And nothing wrong with being tempted as we look at that part of it, but the sin lies in yielding to the temptation. So he knows. Every temptation that we've been tempted with, Jesus has been tempted with the same temptation. We had a Bible study one time. And one man asked the question, you mean every temptation that we've been tempted with, Jesus was tempted to? And of course, it was a preacher by the name of Ray Thomas. He made a point. Everything that we've been tempted, he was tempted. The Bible says so. But yet he didn't sin. He did not sin. And let's go back to Romans. Let's go to Romans 8:34. We'll get familiar with our Bibles this morning. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 34, Romans 8:34, and one of the things we need to understand and take note that Jesus is our friend. No matter what we do, he's still our friend. Many times we do have friends on the earth, and sometimes they just cut you off. Something happens in a relationship and they just cut you off. What about if Jesus did that? He won't do that. But just think about that. They just cut you off. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, is also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also make intercessions for us. So we should not worry about people as far as condemning them. Sometimes people, they're going to form an opinion about you the first day they see you. But Christ is the one who died for us. And he's the one that we need to be concerned about as far as, I'm not saying we don't be concerned about people, but you take it different places, work or whatever the case may be, I guess. I talk about work a lot because I'm there a lot. A lot of times people, they will condemn you, but it don't make no difference. Christ is one who's going to send me to heaven. I send to hell. Of course, he sent us to heaven when we're faithful and die faithful unto the end. And those who don't die in their sins will be lost. But God don't want us to be worried about folk, about people. It is Christ who is our friend. And one more scripture back to Hebrews 7:25. We'll bring it to a close. Okay, Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercessions for them. God is always ready to. He's on our side. Christ is on our side. And one thing about Christ, he don't get tired of us. You know, we can just talk to him and the lines of communication is always open. And we can just talk to Christ. Now people, now a true friend, shouldn't get tired of talking to us. Now, sometimes people have called me and I see the who it is or whatever the case may be and I'm busy, then I will eventually call that person back. But right now, you're in a situation where you really can't answer the phone at this time, but at least call the people back. At least call them back. And he's a friend and it don't matter what we do. He's always on our side as far as doing the right thing. Now, you see, what a friend we have in Jesus. If he's not your friend because you're not a member of the body of Christ, that's why he died. He died for us all. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. That wasn't why he came to the earth. That wasn't his main purpose, to condemn the world. Even though there's going to be a judgment day, he didn't come to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And those of us who are Christians and have fallen away, please come back to the faith. Do that while together we stand and sing. Please come.